Good morning. Hope you're doing well today. I want to thank Pastor Bernard. He's not here today. He is at our Daughter Church in Liberty. He has basically become the tech guy for now. And so, but I want to thank him for preaching for me last week. I did preach my first sermon at New Life Community Church, which is our Daughter Church in Liberty. I plan on doing that maybe four times a year. Probably any month that there's a fifth Sunday. And like I told them, when I go up there, I'm going to be looking ahead. I'm going to be casting vision. I'm going to be talking about what the future of that church looks like. And what I did last week was emphasize how important each of them are in the success of that church. And we introduced their new mission statement. So I want to tell you what their mission statement is. This was decided by their leadership team three weeks ago in a meeting I had with them. Their mission statement is this: to disciple people to discover the new life they can have through Jesus Christ. To disciple people to discover the new life they can have through Jesus Christ. Basically, any mission of any church should be to disciple, because that was the basic mission that God gave us. And so we at New Life, we want to help them discover the new life they can have through Jesus Christ. We don't want to just get them saved. We want to disciple them after that process, to teach them about all that God desires for them, all that God desires for them to do to build his kingdom. And they received it really well. There was a good crowd there last week. God continues to do amazing things there. Tonight is their trunk and treat. So Sarah and I will be heading up there tonight, along with a few others from our church. But we'll be spending some time up there, loving on that community, trying to build those connections with that community as we strive to spread the gospel in the Liberty area. Today, rather than starting a new sermon series, I want to take a look back and celebrate what God is doing in our church over the course of the last year, especially the last few months, as we got this church started in September. And then I want to talk about our role as well in bringing that church to health, because right now it's a baby church. Right now it's in its most developmental stages. Even though it was, you know, it's an old building, it's a new church. And so we play a role in that. As you could refer to us as their mother church, we play a role in our daughter's church formation. But when you think about what God has done over the course of the last year, it has been a fulfillment of what we call our long-term vision. So back in 2019, I delivered this statement to our church, and this was our long-term vision, which was to create a local network of healthy, missional, rural churches. And here we are 4 years later, including a year of COVID that saw many churches close down, saw many people afraid to come into the churches. A lot of churches lost 50 to 60% of their people over the course of that year. Here we are 4 years later, and one of those years you could say was a year of non-church growth. And here we are in the beginning stages of this network. And what many of you don't know is that we have been contacted by two other churches who are interested in becoming a part of our network of churches. And so we're praying about those opportunities. We're trying not to take too much on at one time so that our focus can be with New Life right now. But there are two other opportunities that are on the horizon. But we see God fulfilling this vision that he gave us just a few years ago. We see God creating this network of churches where these churches are working together to be healthy, to be missional, which means they love on their communities and they're rural in their setting. This would not be possible without your support and your willingness to serve God through the ministries of this church. When I read through the book of Acts, and even in the passage that we are in today, I see that we are falling in line with very much like the church operated in the book of Acts, actually. And so today we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, And just to give you some background information, the church in Corinth is not a super healthy church. The church in Corinth, you could even say, is a problem church. Paul starts out this chapter by telling them that he would like to speak to them as spiritual people, but they're not. They're still babies in the faith. He says they are infants in Christ. And so he says, hey, you're immature in your walk with God. You're acting more like the people of the world than how followers of God should be acting. And one thing that shows this is happening, he said this is evident by the divisions that they are facing in the church. And they're even divided on what person they are following. Now, they all claim to follow Jesus, but there's a divide happening where some say they are following this man named Apollos, and some said they are following the author of this book, Paul. Paul started the church. Apollos came sometime afterwards, and we'll look at that in Acts here in a little bit. But in other words, what is happening in this church is that Apollos and Paul have fan clubs, and it's creating divisions within the church, and so Paul wants to address it. And so here's what he starts by saying in verses 5 and 6. He says, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seeds in your heart, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. Paul basically says, hey, it doesn't matter what man you follow, because both men are following God. Both men are doing God's work. And then he, this verse right here, he uses planting as an example of the work that they have done and the work that we are called to do. And for some reason, this metaphor sticks with people. The seed, some people plant the seed and some people water the seed. And I think it sticks with us because about everybody has planted a plant at some point in their life. That's just, I mean, part of living. My grandma is probably the best at planting plants and flowers. She has the most beautiful flowers all around her house. Like, going to her house, you think a professional did every bit of that. I love going and seeing all the butterflies during the summer and spring, seeing the butterflies floating around, seeing all the different types of plants, and then being able to ask Grandma, hey, what is that plant? That thing looks really cool. Colors everywhere. She does a really, really good job. I strive to be that good, but I am nowhere near that good. See, I think something I've learned, especially since we got our house, we have a lot of house plants. In fact, we just purchased this thing that sits in the corner of our kitchen that has about 6 house plants on it stacked up. And of course, our little one will go and stick his fingers in the dirt and spread the dirt around everywhere. But we have vacuum cleaners for that purpose. Luckily, he's not pulled one of them completely off the shelf yet and dumped it. I'm waiting for that to happen. But my grandma has a green thumb. I do not. But one thing I have learned is that the key to having healthy plants is to have a healthy environment for them to grow. The key to having healthy plants is to have a healthy environment for them to grow. And so many things play a role in their environment. The temperature in the house, the temperature outside, how much water you give them, sometimes they could get different funguses or bugs or whatever it may be that would affect their growth. But you play a role in the environment you set for your plants. And all you can do really is set the environment and hope to see that it grows, hope to see there's a result. Now, my grandma obviously does a good job to make sure the environment stays healthy as she plays her role. This truth is the same for us. We play a role in both our church and the church in Liberty, New Life. We play a role in making sure that the environment in both churches are healthy so that the seeds that are planted and watered have the potential for growth. And so what I want to talk to you today is about how we can continue to do that at both churches. And we're going to celebrate how that's already been done. how some of this has already taken place, and now we're just adding to what God is doing. So I've got a few truths from this passage I want to speak to you today. So here's my first truth for you from what Paul is telling to this church. He says, we are servants, not saviors. See, there's a problem when people begin to follow their human leaders and not God. There's a problem when people begin to follow their pastor and not God. Paul was saying, hey, we both played a role in helping get this church started because we both invested in the lives of the people. Apparently, Paul helped plant the seeds, which basically means he started the church. You've heard us talk about New Life as our church plant. It comes from this passage, that idea of planting a church, starting a church. Paul is the one who helped get this church started, and we find that out in Acts chapter 18. In Acts chapter 18, he goes to Corinth, he begins teaching to the Jews, and eventually he teaches to the Gentiles. And we're not going to take time to read all of Acts 18 today, but you can see that people began to respond to the message that Paul was teaching to them. And as soon as people began to respond to that message, the church began to grow. We're told in Acts chapter 18, verse 11, that Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half. So he spent a good bit of time with them, teaching them the word of God. Now, a chapter later in Acts chapter 19, sometime after Paul was there, a man named Apollos comes into Corinth, and he begins teaching the word of God. So basically, you can think about this as their next pastor came in. Pastor Paul left, their next pastor, Pastor Apollos, came in. Now, they probably had more than that, because in that time, you didn't just have one pastor. This was, the church was all the Christians in a city, so that means you had different teachers throughout the city. But Apollos comes in, and he was adding on to what Paul had already started. He was teaching that church and helping bring that church to health. The bad thing was that the Christians were so immature in their faith that they began to fight over who they were following. Some said, hey, I follow Paul. And some said, no, I follow Apollos. It was creating divisions. Personality cults were forming. People were following men, not God. And that's where Paul says in verse 5, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants, through who you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. So in other words, he's saying, hey, who are we? We are God's servants. We are not your saviors. You don't follow us. You follow God. We followed God. We each did the work that God gave us to do. So stop fighting over which one of us you follow and just follow God. Because that's what we're doing. So Paul is trying to communicate to them, hey, we're just servants of the Most High. We're not saviors. And that's a truth for us today. We didn't save that church in Liberty. It could be easy for us to get prideful and think that we played such a big part. We're the saviors of what used to be Friendly Wesleyan Church in Liberty. We saved that church, blah, 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 blah. That's not who we are. What we are is we are servants. What we did there was we served God. We served God, we loved on that community, and God is the one who's bringing that church to life. If you look at the work we've done in this community, it's not our job to save the people in this community. It's not our job to become who they follow. Our job is to serve God. And if we serve God, will that include loving others? Yes, we'll get to that in a second. But I think sometimes we can think that we are so big and bad in the kingdom of God, and when I say that, it's bad in a good way. We think we are so influential. We can think that we have so much, I don't want to say power, but let's just go back with the word influence on other people, that we eventually get into this level of pride. And it would be easy for us to feel that way with the church in Liberty, to be proud and to allow pride to sink into our hearts about what we did there. But if we begin to think ourselves as saviors, number one, we're going to get prideful, but also I want you to know you're going to fail. What these Christians in Corinth don't know is that both Paul and Apollos will fail them at some point because they're not God. Men are going to fail you. Women are going, when I say men, I just mean humanity as a whole. If you begin to rely too much on a person in this world, they are going to fail you at some point. And if we begin to allow someone to lean on us too much, we will fail them at some point. So we have to remind ourselves of our position. We are not saviors. We are not the ones who save people in this area. It's God who does the saving. We're only servants of Him. So what does that mean? That means we focus on serving God. I think that's what you did at Liberty. None of you have done the work at Liberty thinking you are saviors. None of you did it for your own credit. You did it out of service to God. Not one of you have asked for recognition. Not one of you have asked for your name on a plaque there at Liberty or anything like that. Judgment before Jesus, before the King of Kings. He says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked. The righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the King of Kings, will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. He says, when you showed love to these other people by clothing them, by feeding them, by visiting them, by showing them hospitality, you were loving me. You showed love to me by loving them. For too long in America, we've misunderstood this concept. And initially, when I was writing the sermon, I was going to say in the last 30, 40 years, we've misunderstood this concept. But I think you can go even further back than that. For some reason, the church in America has disconnected loving God and loving others. We have settled with our worship of God meaning coming to church on Sunday morning, going to church Sunday night, going to church Wednesday night, or in our church, it'd be our table gatherings. But we have basically made it about our personal relationship with God. And yes, we'll give to missionaries. Yes, we might give some money elsewhere. But a majority of the focus in the American church has been about our personal relationship with God. When Jesus says, hey, that's only one side of it. Yes, focus on your relationship with God. Love me with all of who you are, but also love some other people. I believe we separated serving and worshiping God from loving others, which is why the American church was one of the lead supporters of slavery. Here we are in the Bible Belt in the South, and you know, many of the churches in the South were some of the lead defenders of slavery. It was the Christian church that was the problem. That was why, because they separated serving and worshiping God and loving others, that's why you could have a slave owner worship God on Sunday and then treat his slave like they're nothing that evening by beating them and raping them. It's because we separated the two. There's a church in Montgomery County I've heard about. It's an old Methodist church that you can go to, and they have it closed off now, but if you go up in the attic, you can see where the slaves sat. The whites got to sit down here, and the slaves had to sit up there because they were not good enough to sit down in church with them. That's horrible. Today, I think the American church, because we have separated serving and worshiping God from loving others, is why many in the church turn a blind eye to abortion. It's why abortion is supported by some churches. And I know that's not as big of a problem around here, but if you go into some churches, especially in urban areas, it's the churches who are supporting the abortion industry. They turn a blind eye to the death of babies because they're only focused on their relationship with God. I believe this is why we have a majority of churches today that devote most, if not all, of their money to maintaining the inside of the church, maintaining the facilities, and spending their money on the church people rather than on loving people in the community. I've had the opportunity to see the budgets of other churches, and you'd be amazed at how many churches spend pretty much all of their money on either keeping up a building or paying their pastor. And that's basically where all the money goes to. There's no love for the people in the community. There's none of this clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, caring for the sick, visiting those in prison. You don't see that because they've separated the two. Something we really try to emphasize in our church is that any true disciple of Jesus is going to serve others. You can't separate loving God from loving others if you are a follower of God. Any true disciple, any true follower of Jesus is going to care for other people. And that leads into our discipleship process that I want to just take the opportunity to remind you about today. Actually sharing this past week with another pastor. But this is our discipleship process at our church where starting point, I don't know where your starting point is. It could be that you came to church on Sunday morning. It could be that you went to one of our table gathering small groups through the week. I don't know. But everyone has a starting point. But after they get to that starting point, they get into our discipleship process, which can be defined by the three words, connect, commit, care. And this process is a process that we all stay in for the rest of our lives. Connecting means that we want people to connect to God and connect to other people. Commit means that we want people to grow in their commitment to God. But then everything should lead back into that care. And the care means to care for other people. For too long, the church has settled with simply connecting and committing. And so what's happened is that we have many people in the church who have this great head knowledge. They come to church on Sunday, they connect with people, they spend time with people, they have built this connection within the church, and they're learning about God. Some great Sunday school lessons have taken place. You know the Bible inside and out. You have all this head knowledge, but it has not led into caring for other people. It's not led into caring for the hurting, for the lost in that community, which is why the numbers of people who are followers of God in America continue to dwindle down, because the church has focused too much on the inside for far too long. Nowadays, guess what the problem is nowadays? There are churches that are just interested in getting you connected with God and connected with other people. They're not interested in teaching you more about God. They're not interested in helping you grow in your commitment with God, and they're definitely not pushing you to care for other people. Churches have become social clubs where you spend Sunday morning and maybe a day or two throughout the week. Any true disciple of Jesus is going to connect to God and others, grow in their commitment, and eventually that's going to lead into caring for others, loving others, as Jesus put it. We are called to serve others. And Paul essentially divides this idea of serving others into two categories, planting and watering. He says in verse 6, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. What does he mean by planting the seed and watering? Let's talk about it. Planting seeds involves introducing people to the gospel message. Planting seeds involves introducing people to the gospel message. Planting seeds is about starting the process so that there is potential for something to be there. Think about actual seeds. Seeds come in, those little packets. They can come in jars. They come in a whole host of things. But if you keep the seeds in those packets or in those jars, is there any chance for it to potentially become a plant? No. You have to put it in the right environment. You have to put it in the right conditions. And so when Paul says, hey, I planted the seed, that means that he introduced people to the gospel message so that there was potential for there to be a plant. It's interesting, Jesus actually uses planting seeds as an example in his parable of the four soils. And he describes the seed as the word of God. And he says the farmer scattered his seeds, which would be us spreading the word of God. And some landed on hard soil, some landed on rocky soil, some landed on soil that contained thorns, and then some of it landed on good soil. And ultimately it was the good soil that produced the plant that would bear fruit. Jesus uses that example as well, which I think this keeps going with, it sticks with us. And maybe it sticks with us in this community because we are an agricultural-driven community. There's a lot of fields around here. There's a lot of corn that gets planted. There's a lot of hay that gets planted. So we see that process taking place where things get planted, seeds get planted. In this case, planting the seeds means introducing someone to the gospel message. And we can do that in a number of ways. First, you can simply just share the gospel with someone verbally. Romans 10:14 says, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? You know, I should have included in here the ridiculously bad stats about evangelism in the church, because they are horrendous. When I say evangelism, some of you don't really know what I mean. What I mean there is basically spreading the gospel. Planting the seeds is another way of thinking about it. The average Christian, the average churchgoer, has not shared has not shared the gospel with anyone in the last year. That means the average person in this room has not shared the gospel with anyone in the past year. Yet, our mission is to make disciples. That's the mission God gave us. Also, God told us to love others. Now, if you really love someone, have you ever thought about this? If you really love someone, you're going to want what's best for them. And what's best for them is not for them to never hear the gospel message. And so it's up to you, as Paul says here, how are they going to believe in Jesus if they never heard about him? So you need to make sure that they hear about him. In other words, tell them about Jesus. Spread the gospel. Plant those seeds. One of the best ways to do evangelism, in my opinion, is to make it personal and tell your story about how God has changed your life. And then just naturally transition into that, God can change your life, whoever you're talking to. We need to make sure that we are being intentional about spreading the gospel to those that we know, that we don't know. We need to spread the gospel as an act of love. That leads into the next one, though. We plant seeds by actual acts of love. Anytime we do an outreach event in our church, so that would be like Trunk and Treat, that would be the summer giveaway, that would be the winter giveaway, that would be Easter Family Fun Day. Anytime we do an outreach event like that, our goal is to do this exact thing right here, is to plant the seeds of the gospel. It's to show them the love that God has for them, to show them the love that we have for them, so that hopefully one day they'll come to the saving knowledge of God's grace. We have planted seeds in this community for years. Do we see an immediate payoff after every event? Absolutely not. If we saw immediate payoff after every event, if everybody that came to our summer giveaway came to church the next day, we would not be able to fit them in this building. We would have to do three different services just to potentially fit them in here. We don't see the payoff, but what I do believe we are doing is we're planting seeds for future payoff. I believe we are showing them that these people here at this church, they're different. It doesn't make sense for us to just give away clothing. It doesn't make sense for us to give away coats. It doesn't make sense for us to give away book bags. It doesn't make sense for us to spend all this money. We spend 15% of our budget, which is $15,000 plus on the community. Does it make sense? Why would someone do that? Why would people do that? It's because of God. One of our core values is radical outreach. We want to be so out there, and I say out there, I mean that in a good way. We want to be so radical with our outreach that people say, what's wrong with them? Why would they do something like that? And that's when we can say, because we know Jesus. And he showed us radical outreach. He's shown us this radical love. Think about the planting seeds with the church at Liberty, with New Life. The work that we did there was really seed planting. Many of you spent hours up there, and you didn't reach anyone yourselves necessarily. You didn't talk to people in the community. You didn't teach them the gospel. What you were doing was you were planting the seeds for that church to be all that God has called it to be in the future. Majority of our work was on the facilities, getting the facilities updated and ready for the harvest that we believe God is going to bring in. Now we got people up there watering those seeds. So let's talk about what watering means. Watering involves nurturing for growth. So going back to an actual plant, once a seed is planted, you have to nurture it. If in order for a plant to have life, it needs water. For a Christian or a church, that means that you do the things to bring it to life, to make sure that its environment is as healthy as possible. You make sure that the church or a Christian or a plant has what it needs to become healthy. So we do that in a number of ways. Going back to our discipleship process, this would all fall under the commit category. We teach. We teach what it means to be a follower of God. We teach what the Bible says because we want them to know. You're not going to live it out if you don't know what God has called you to do. So we want to teach them what it means to be a follower of God. But I also think part of this watering is simply encouraging people in the bad times and in the good times. But it's so easy for the devil to try to get your plant to dry up. Say, hey, you ought to give up on following God. And that's when another Christian, another person can water that seed that's been planted and encourage them to stay in the fight. But then the third way I think that we can water is simply by setting the example. Showing them what it means to be a follower of God. In other words, those three basically sum up what a disciple is called to do. We walk with someone through their life. We do things to help them grow in their commitment with God. Going back to New Life, what's happened there is that many of you have done the work to plant the seeds, and now there's people up there watering them. So up there today, Don and Kathy, obviously, Don is preaching almost every week up there. Kathy is over the hospitality, what we would call our connect side here at our church. We have Pastor Emily up there who was the pastor at Friendly Wesleyan, and now she's on staff with us, and she is doing a great job coordinating volunteers, working with the kids ministry, so on, leading worship with her husband, John. Mike and Pat are now going up there pretty much all the time. They'll still help out at events down here, but Mike and Pat are up there watering what God has done. Andrew and Keith are typically up there, and they come back here every now and then, but Andrew is helping out with outreach there. Myself, I'm still very involved up there. I lead their leadership meetings and still leading the church even from a distance. And others there at the church, the people of Friendly Wesleyan, they're the ones watering, trying to make sure the conditions are right for growth. But here's the truth that we have to remind ourselves, because it's easy to think if we give it enough water and if we plant enough seeds, we're the ones who make a church grow or make a Christian grow. But the growth only comes from God. Think about real life plants. I can do everything I need to do, but it still dies. I've learned that I can give it the water that I think it needs, but I'm not the one that's making it grow. It's God who's the one who's making it grow, or sometimes God allows my plants to die. Spiritually, Paul says in verse 6, I planted the seeds in your heart, polished, watered it, but it was God who made it grow. In other words, Paul and Apollos played their parts, but it was God who made that church grow. This is the truth for any person we disciple in any church that we welcome into our network of churches. It is God who will make them grow. So what we do is we play our part, and then we leave the rest up to God. We plant if God has called us to plant. We water if God has called us to water. We do whatever God has called us to do, but we leave the rest of it to Him so that He can finish its work. And God ultimately decides whether something lives or dies. Ultimately, that's up to Him. But either way, in the end, because God is the one who gives the growth, it is God who gets the glory. So we look back at what's happened at New Life, and we think about, I can look at faces in this church and think about people who were not a part of the greater church, who were not a follower of Jesus. And then we have connected with you and brought you in here. And I celebrate that, but I also recognize it was God who gave the growth. So it's God who gets the glory. Paul says in verse 7, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What is important is that God makes the seed grow. He says, it's not important if you're the one planting or watering. What's important is that God gets the glory, because God is the one who gives the growth. So practically, that means that we celebrate what God has done. We recognize the part that we played, and we're about to do that. We recognize the part we played, but we know it was God who did the work, which is why when we sing on Sunday mornings, we sing praises to ourselves, we sing praises to God. We don't sing praises to the pastor, we sing praises to God. Because He is the one who has given us all good things. All good things come from above. So we give Him the praise and honor to Him. When we do that, it keeps us humble, so that we can continue to be vessels for God to use. One good way to stop you from fulfilling your purpose is to get prideful. Because when you get prideful, that's not a vessel that God can work with. And so when we are constantly giving God the glory for the growth that He has given us, or the growth that we are seeing Him give the church or giving individuals, we give Him the glory. That keeps us humble so that we can continue to be vessels for Him to use, so that more people get added to God's church, and so that seeds keep getting planted and the gospel keeps getting spread. I don't think God's done with our church yet. We celebrate what has happened at New Life. I look back at that, and God did that. Not me, not you, not even the folks at Friendly Wesleyan. That was all God's work. Did you know a few years ago, many of you probably don't know this, unless Emily might have said it in her sermon here, but a few years ago, the church voted no to partnering with the church. That congregation said, no, we want to continue operating as we are. And then only a few short years later, they said, yeah, we'll partner with the church, and we'll close the church completely down, and we'll reopen it under a new name, because we want to see what God wants to do in this community. What's changed in those years? Some people could say, well, COVID came and went. Some people could say, well, money, you know, comes and goes. But I think it was God. I think God worked on the hearts of those people. And in other words, God planted some seeds in their hearts. And those seeds have brought to life this new church. And then you came along. We wouldn't have been ready to help a new church like this a couple years ago. But because of your commitment and because you have grown in your walk with God, you've played your role by planting some seeds, by watering what is there. You played a part in what God is doing there. And Scripture assures us in verse 8, Paul says this, the one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. God ensures us that we will be rewarded. I've said this before, but I believe the people who spent hours up there painting and working and doing all this work that was done at that church, you were storing up treasures in heaven. You were doing work that you could have been at home doing all types of stuff. I know that. You could be at home watching TV. You could have been out going watching a movie. You could have been doing a whole host of things. You could have even been working at your own job, making your own money so that then you can buy that car you want or buy that house you want or whatever it may be. And you chose to sacrifice your time to work on a, what, 60, 70, 80-year-old church building to reach people that you don't even know in the Liberty community and that you may never even meet in that community. Why would someone do that? Because they weren't doing it for their own glory. They were doing it out of service to God. And because you did that, you'll be rewarded one day. I believe it. I want to honor you right now, though. While we wait for your treasures in heaven, I want to honor the work here on the earth publicly in front of others to see. So I want to invite everybody that did that painted or did construction work at New Life, I want you to come up here and I want you to line up and I want you to face that way. Make them come up, Kristen. I knew Jeff probably. Michael, come on up. Shane, come on up. Call people out. John David, you somewhat painted one wall. They tried. Y'all are on my list because y'all tried. Lucas, Noah, come on. Let me just read the list off here, and I think I have everybody, but Sarah Kaiser, she's not in here. Stephanie, she's in the nursery. Lucas, Noah, Atlas is in kids. Eleanor, Virgil, they're not here today. Darren, Maddie, Gavin, John David, Jamie, June. Yeah, Jamie, come on up. You painting. June, Elizabeth, Mark, Sean. Sean Goodale don't even go to our church, and he spent countless hours up there. Jeff Gray, Shane, Zayden, Caleb, Miller, David Bailey, Raymond Longley, Michael Martinez, Danny. Danny up here? Yeah, there you are. Don, Kathy, Mike, and Pat. These are the people who did that work at Liberty, who planted those seeds, who sacrificed their time and who sacrificed their effort so that church would be ready to relaunch in September. And so that now, currently, I don't know how many people are meeting there this morning, but we've had about roughly 10 new people come in. That number's actually probably up to 15 now. 15 new people come into that church since it started. For a church of 10 before that, to have 15 new people come in, that's pretty amazing. That's God doing the work. These are the people who planted those seeds. Some more than others. John David, he tried painting one wall. We ended up having to paint over it. You know, it was rough. But John David, get down. But here's what I wanted to do for these guys. On my desk back there in the back, there is a cross that I was given at my ordination, and it was given to me by the general superintendent of the Westland Church. And that cross was from an old church building that they had either torn down or remodeled or something, and someone had cut all those all that wood into crosses. And when he gave it to us, he said, these crosses are soaked with the worship of the saints over years. And so that gave me the idea to do the same thing with the wood at New Life. This is some wood, leftover wood that we took down from New Life. It actually has sort of the look that New Life had in the main worship center area. And so I cut these into crosses. And I handed these out last week at New Life to the folks at New Life to thank them for their sacrifice, for the seeds that they planted. And there I used the Living Stones rocks example. But I wanted to give these as gifts to these people for the work that they have done. Yes. As a reminder that they have stored up treasures in heaven, that they have served their purpose and they've done work at Liberty. And so these crosses, I believe these crosses are soaked with the worship of the saints of the last 80 years. And these crosses are a way of me saying thank you on behalf of God for the work that you've done. But also, as a reminder that you still play a part, that we're all called to take up our cross daily and to follow God, to continue to plant and continue to water and continue to do the work that God has called us to do. But it's also a reminder, looking back at who gives the growth? Jesus. He's the one who does it. But I want to thank each and every one of you, because it would not have been possible. I know y'all spent countless hours up there doing that work when you could have been doing other things. Thank you for taking up your cross and sacrificing. These crosses are not perfect. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't do anything with wood. This is the first time I literally ever done anything with wood. And so they are crooked. The holes are not centered. I actually have mine hanging up in my Hummer. And then some people, don't ruin my joke. I actually have mine hanging up my Hummer. Last week they talked about putting it on their Christmas tree, actually, as ornament. But I told them last week, I said, my theological reasoning for these not being perfect is because the cross Jesus hung on wasn't perfect either. As we sing, it was an old rugged cross. And so what I'm giving them today is old rugged crosses that are crooked, that are not proportional, so on and so forth. I told them last week, I said, if Home Depot and Lowe's can't get straight wood today, I guarantee you they didn't have straight wood back then. And so this wood is not straight, but I have like 22, which I think will cover everybody up here. But these are my gifts to you as a way of saying thank you. Thank you for the work you've done. Thank you for the sacrifices you've made. So if you would, guys, let's please give them a round of applause. And then I'm going to pray, and then y'all can get your crosses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer today, Lord, and thank you for this opportunity for us to gather here together. Lord, I thank you for these people who made the sacrifice, who have planted the seeds there at New Life so that the church can hopefully grow, Lord, if that is in your will. Lord, I thank you for the people that are up there watering. I thank you that they are up there doing the work that you have called them to do, as we have done the work that you've called us to do. But Lord, ultimately, all of it points back to you. We were not doing this for our own recognition. None of these people did this so that they would get called to the front so that we could give them a shout out. None of them did it for any money. None of them did it for recognition. Lord, they did it out of service to you. And Lord, I thank you for their heart in that regard. Lord, I thank you for their desire to serve you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us to have that same heart, have that same desire as we strive to serve you every day of our life. So Lord, help us to continue to plant, help us to continue to water. But Lord, it is you who gives the growth, so it's you who gets the glory. Lord, help us to give you the glory in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you for being here today.